The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.
God loves us just the way we are, but loves us too much to leave us the way we are.
If I see a man wearing all pink, the first thing I question is his sexuality.
It was a prejudgment. This is not even a church thing. When a man is not present, you do not see how a man is supposed to act. We don't even talk about how people do good. We're just waiting for the moment that they do. And honestly, that goes against what God's word tells us to do. I'm called to this. If I don't do this, I'm disobeying God. If you would have known me 15 years ago, y'all wouldn't have me on this podcast.
What was your take with what you saw on Charlie Kirk personally?
That man was killed in broad daylight on national TV. Nobody should be executed for their belief. If something in your heart didn't feel like that ain't right, it's shown how callous we've gotten as a culture. We've maybe watched too many movies and maybe have played too many video games that has made death very by the way.
Most people straight roll out of bed, grab their phone and rush to work, and wonder why life feels stuck in a repeat. But here's the truth. If you want massive change, it starts with your first hour. That's what we do in the High Life community. Every morning, we give God the first hour. That's reading, exercise, praying, and scribe it. We call it getting your reps in. 1 hour that sets the tone for everything else. But here's the difference. You're not doing this alone. We give you structure, coaching, and accountability. So you don't just start, you actually stay consistent. And that's why members inside are breaking addictions, finding clarity, building confidence, and experiencing exponential growth in every single area of life. If you know God has more than just clocking in and out, this is your moment. Click the link below. Join the family. The High Life is here. Welcome to Hardly Initiated. It is your host, Tyshawn Jackson, in the building with my co-host, Ryan Catchings.
It's official. It's pretty much been 3 months off since we last did the show.
Yeah.
So to welcome in this fashion is really incredible.
That's
a
huge fact.
Building.
I was already telling this brother when he walked in, we had to build a platform. The platform had to hit the gym to get strong enough to get these kinds of caliber brothers on here. But y'all already know, I mean, this brother needs very little introduction because many of us see him every single day on our YouTubes, our IGs, our TikTok, the brothers everywhere. One of the most transformational brothers, the leader of Transformation Church, one of the biggest and fastest growing churches out of Oklahoma. And what seems like on YouTube, we rocking with the big brother, Pastor Mike Todd, in the building. Welcome.
What's going on? Finally. You know what I'm saying?
This legendary right here.
Hey, man, what a pleasure and an honor to be with y'all today, watching this journey of y'all's unfold over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this. Like, y'all went from an idea to impact, impact to being a part of people's everyday. That's wild. So I want to give y'all congratulations.
Thank you.
And flowers, and everybody that's watching, y'all should support these brothers because what they're doing is God's work. And it's in a lot of different areas. So I'm excited to be here today, bro.
Receive.
Yeah, absolutely. Receive. Yeah. You got some big things popping off right now, too.
Amen.
Okay, the book is out here moving in the streets. Tell me
we
about it.
We out here, man. To God be the glory, bro, for real. And I say that with no, like, man, I'm on my third New York Times bestselling book.
Whew.
Bro, this is the wildest thing in history. Like, Damaged But Not Destroyed is out everywhere. It started with relationship goals.
Yep.
Crazy faith, and now Damaged But Not Destroyed. And I'm just really trying to help people understand that God has put value on you, in you, that nobody and nothing can take away. Your trauma can turn into triumph. It just depends on how you see it and who you have around you. And so I'm just trying to help add value to men and women and boys and girls all over the world to let them know that whatever's happening, man, this is just a part of the puzzle that God's putting together that's gonna make a beautiful picture. And yeah, we're just trying to add value everywhere we can.
I like that, especially because it's your third one, because relationship goals is how I even found out about you.
Really?
Likewise.
I feel like every black woman in America was reading relationship goals. You could not get enough.
My now wife, right, when I went into her house when we were dating, I literally laughed at her because all I saw was business books. She had it was like no balance in the type of book she had, but relationship goals
was
the only book
we made it
that, like, I saw on there, and I said, okay, I guess you're working on this part of your life.
Yeah, it's the only one you need. No, I'm just playing. But it is a great starting point, because it talks about me and my wife's journey, the things that I've learned in the word. Me and my wife been together since we were 15 years old. So she watched me go from a boy to a man. We've been married now 15 years. We have 4 kids. She on my shirt right now. I take her everywhere.
Wow.
You hear what I'm saying? I'm like Superman out here. Like, the best thing that ever happened to me. But a lot of the things that I learned were not from somebody teaching me. I had to learn it from the trial. And I felt like there's two ways of learning. Somebody can either give you the game and be able, you listen to it and be further along, or you can have those scars. And I just wanted somebody to give me what I didn't have, and I wanted to give that away. And so that's what relationship goals was. And I had no idea it was gonna like hit like it did. And I barely graduated English class, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And my first book, number one New York Times bestseller for 13 weeks, and it's to this day transforming and helping people's lives. So I'm just grateful, bro.
So y'all incredible. Here, y'all, listen, we're gonna have that link right there in the description. Go ahead and get that book.
Let's go.
ASAP. Get it popping. In fact, one of the things we take pride in, the way we was able to grow the platform to the degree it has, is authenticity.
Yes.
And it's not being afraid. It's being bold enough to have some of the hardest conversations that we need to have.
Yeah.
In our culture, it's almost the conversations that family, they don't even want you to have at the dinner table.
It. Right.
Like, don't talk. No. We're not talking about that. But we're going to do that here today. So just make sure you're ready, because I take pride in giving brothers some of their hardest interviews they've ever had. In fact, I really want to start here, because us being vulnerable enough to put our faith out in front of the world has been something I've really been still grappling with.
Yeah.
Hearing other people give their take on your spiritual journey and your walk.
Yeah.
Is something that is really crazy to me. I be wanting to go crazy in the comments and talk sideways sometimes, but I tend to stay out the comments altogether. But at the end of the day, I kind of get it. And one of the things we're judged on mostly is that we in this faith space, and we're not traditional. We really don't even have a local church.
Yeah.
Me, Ron, and some brothers, we gather around the Word weekly, about as close as I got to church. And it's been very transformative in my life. But that's not something that's even really important to me right now, to be quite honest with you. I'm focused on my relationship, not really being in one. And when I thought about what influenced me on that, if I'm being honest, when I look back in my life, the brothers that I knew that grew up, particularly not went to church later in life, but grew up in church, I felt like those brothers, especially compared to the other brothers I respect and grew up with, they didn't really seem like they were strong brothers.
Yeah.
I would actually identify and call those brothers soft.
Okay.
when I'm thinking about brothers that grew up in the church. Why is that that a brother that will spend most of his life growing up learning one of the most masculine men, Jesus Christ,
yeah,
can actually grow up and even be considered anything close to soft?
Yeah, so the truth of the matter is I don't know where you grew up, because there's a lot of people that have different experience based on where they are. But I understand the sentiment of what you're saying. The truth of the matter is this is not even a church thing. This is a systemic thing with fathers being out of the home. So let's not even put the religion in it. Let's put in that when a man is not present and you do not see how a man is supposed to act, react, treat, care for, and you're raised by your mama, aunties, and grandmas, you're going to many times take on the mannerisms, the actions, and the emotional cues from those people. And so a lot of times you're learning about a Jesus who is a man in the Bible that you've never seen in your real life. You don't got no uncles that are showing up for you. They're not being at your, they're not teaching you how to control your emotions. They're not teaching you what you do with your sexual drive. They're not teaching you to do that. And let's be honest, the church for the last 40 years has been predominantly ran and patroned by women. So if you're trying to raise your kids, right, and you struggling and working two jobs and doing all this stuff, you know, boy, you come into church. And so they're coming to this space where it's predominantly women with a few men. And depending on what their actual level of integrity looks like, that could be something different. And so we had a lot of people either doing one of two things. They leaned fully into it or they ran away from it. And so you see a lot of, I know this is a different angle than maybe you thought about, but I've had to help a lot of these people who've been damaged by this system actually transform and reform. And so the reason why you probably thought a lot of the brothers were soft is because they were raised without masculine leadership. They were raised in a place where you don't hear no bass and no voice. You don't get corrected on things. You are the man of the house. And so when you're a boy being the man of the house, it's very difficult to be what you've never seen. And until there was a coach or a teacher or a uncle or somebody to step in to actually show you, correct you, give you a chance to know something different, a lot of those people continued to produce what they saw. And so, again, this is a very broad stroke that has a lot of nuance. But what I'm saying to you is I grew up in church and I knew a lot of people who were men's men, like brothers. Like, but a lot of times that was defined by how many people they slept with. So, like, okay, you're soft on this side and you're a whore on this side.
For sure.
And it's like, so the ability to understand what's right and what's real and what's godly. Like, we're not even talking about like what's godly is not based on being a man's man or soft. It's based on living your life according to the truth of God's word. And I think that's where, no matter where you find yourself on that spectrum, I believe that when you align yourself with the way, it leads you to truth. And then you get to walk in the light. And so, again, with you starting, I don't know your experience specifically, but I just know I've counseled a lot of people who just did not have a fatherly, godly influence. And it messed up their view of God. Because God the Father. It's like, if I've never seen a man that could, his word was his word, but he still was tender in love. That's the God we talk about, we serve. Like, how is it that his voice can command waves and wind to behave, yet he bottles every tear? The dynamic, how many men do you see like that right now? So even for the man's man, most of those men up on testosterone in the gym doing all that stuff, they can't listen to their wife. They can't sit there with their daughter and hear them and be tender with them, because it's like this dichotomy in our society that either you're this or you that. And I believe our God was both strong and tender. I believe it's the reason why he says that we weep with those who weep, and we mourn with those who mourn, and I bottle every tear, as well as I'm the God of this universe. Like, it's both and any man who's actually being authentically his whole self, not conforming to culture or some ideology that some group of people they're trying to impress has made up, they're both. I have three daughters. I have a wife that I love dearly. And my word in that house goes. And they all can influence my word. Mm. I love them that much that I can say, bedtime is at 9. I don't care. Y'all got school in the morning. And if them little girls about that, but daddy, I just want you to lay with me. Can you please brush my hair? Like, hey, we just wanted to all get in the bed with you and mommy and watch the TV. Because I'm strong and tender. And I think we need more examples of men and women who actually embody what God is, like both and. Like,
right,
you
right.
know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, I think that's, I know we just dive deep in right
no,
there.
No, no,
that's
no,
perfect.
Listen.
But
like,
yeah, yeah,
like you
good.
Know what I'm saying? Like,
perfect.
That's kind of how I see that.
So, you know, it's a great question, by the way. And I'm not sure if I expected you to kind of go that route, but I'm in agreement with you. It is a systematic issue overall. Now, I still got some concerns, right? More so about the aesthetic, like how biblical masculinity or just masculinity should look. And I'm gonna tell you this because, you know, this is a conversation that Tyshawn have had off camera, right? We had when the second pastor of Transformation Church, Charles Metcalf.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was going on a book tour or something like that, and a message came across us to feature him on the platform. So I'm like, okay, I'm not really familiar with Charles. Let me check it out. Man, I went to his Instagram and I'm like, oh, I don't, Ty, we can't do this. I'm like, he got on all pink. My man got on blonde hair. And that made me really apprehensive, right? And I continued to look at the content and the message, and I'm like, this is good.
Yeah.
But the aesthetic.
Yeah.
I'm like, what does this mean if we feature somebody like Charles Metcalf on the platform? So it's a twofold question.
Yeah.
One, were we in the wrong for making that snap judgment? And two, aesthetic-wise, what should masculinity look like?
Okay, first off, shout out to Charles Metcalf. That's my dog forever. Second off, it was a prejudgment. It was prejudice. And the reason I say it's a prejudgment, that's what prejudice means. I'm not talking about, it's a prejudgment because the Bible tells us the metric that we should judge people by, their fruit. So if every time I walk into somewhere, I could make a prejudgment about you just by your beard and your shirt.
Right.
I can make a prejudgment about you because of your muscles and your bald head. I'm not doing that because I ain't never talked to y'all before. But I have met people that look like you and look like you that have lanes and categories in my head of what they should be. Man, our first interaction was one of excitement and faith and building and congratulations. But before I walked in that door, all I had was clips on YouTube. All I had was what people have told me. And I had to be wise enough as a man of God, as a man of integrity, to say, I am not going to prejudge. People would have told me not to come on the podcast.
I can imagine.
Why? Why am I going to come on this podcast? What is this about to for real do for me? Like, is this going to, and that's what people can say. But I was like, I like these dudes. I see what they doing. I see how they growing. I see the fruit that's coming out of some of the things. Do I agree with all the methods? Probably not. But that prejudgment, man, keeps us from relationship. That prejudgment many times keeps us from learning something. And I've just found, man, I pastor a lot of different people. Like, I pastor white people, I pastor old people, I pastor young people. One of the things that has kept me from being boxed in is that I have margin for difference. Mm. And a lot of Christians don't, yet Jesus did. Like, Jesus was at the well talking to a woman with a different ethnicity, and his disciples were prejudiced. They came back and was like, why are you talking to her? And Jesus was like, y'all still don't get it. Y'all be with me every day. Like, I heal the people they say don't heal. I do it on the day they tell you not to do it. I talk to people who I know is sleeping around with other people. Like, I want people to be healed, delivered, set free, changed. And it is our human nature to prejudge people. So again, we all have preferences, and I'm good with that. Like,
like what you drink coffee, this ain't coffee, this tea. Like we all have preferences, but many times we try to box in our preferences to being actual truth. And sometimes you just need a little time. Now, if you see the fruit and you interact with somebody and that fruit all around them is sour and jacked up, it's like, yeah, like, nah, I don't mess with them. But what I say about Charles Metcalf, one of the most solid brothers I've ever met in my whole life, has four kids, married to the same woman, and is literally changing people's lives that don't fool with God. Like, when I tell you, like, this dude will walk up to people who are self-proclaimed atheists, and somehow over 6 months, them dudes give their life to Christ and are following Jesus. It's way more fruit than I see in a lot of masculine brothers that won't even share their faith to their homeboys at the basketball court. Like, so please miss me with, like, I just see too much fruit. And again, everybody's not close enough to see the fruit, but you can't get close enough if you prejudge it. And so for me, Charles would have been one of your best podcasts ever.
Wow.
Like, no joke. One of the smartest dudes I know. But he definitely is going to have blonde hair, black hair, orange hair. He's going to have a mohawk. He going to do. But again, that's just how he expresses his creativity. And when I say creativity, he is a creative genius.
Like, oh, that's clear. That's clear.
Again, when I tell you, like, the thing. But again, a lot of times the aesthetic makes us miss people's anointing. The aesthetic sometimes makes us miss people's assignment. And the aesthetic makes us miss being unified. And so sometimes it takes just a little more emotional maturity and even like, all right, I'm gonna ignore that for a second until God tells me to split. Like, until God says, like, no. Do you know how many things I've had to do where I'm like, man, I don't think this gonna work. And then God's like, hey, shut up. Do what I ask you to do. And then afterwards I'm like, whoa. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so in my mind, the second part of your question is I believe it was, what does
masculinity, should it look like? Because, yeah. And this is why I ask this.
Yeah.
Because especially, you know, I would consider myself more traditional.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it right now just seems to be a split between Christians. It's like traditional and other, you know, things should be like this. And when it comes to that aesthetic and dressing a certain way, of course, if I see a man wearing all pink, the first thing I question is his sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, you got somebody who you mentioned, solid dude, impacting all these lives. Not only that, he's married with four children.
Yeah.
This is incredible. Right.
Amazing.
This is the goal, right? But is it, you know, I guess skip the how should it look question. Let's go to this. Is it okay for you to dress a certain way if questions about your sexuality arise? Or should you just avoid dressing like that in general so people will just stop, you know, kind of bringing that up?
Yeah, I feel that. There's two sides of this coin. Number one, I will start by saying God blesses who you really are, not who you pretend to be.
Mm.
And I just feel a lot of people are crashing out inwardly and outwardly because they are not who they are. Like, I mean, y'all know people right now who are a certain way around a certain group of people. And as soon as you get them around a different group of people, they're somebody completely different. I believe that God wants us to show up whole so he can transform the real version of us. If my man's wearing pink suits today because he thought it was a vibe and saw the thing with, and he was really being himself, and he has people around him that would be like, yo, bro, this may be something that the message is getting drowned out by.
Mm.
He's getting judged by a try. Have you seen him in a whole all pink suit since then?
No.
You ain't even seen him in anything like that. Why?
Mm.
You have no idea what happened behind the scenes.
Mm.
You have no idea if that was the try he needed to graduate to another level. Mm. But everybody wants to judge people by the moment that they saw.
Right.
Not knowing that the next moment could have been the moment that transformed their life. And if you don't extend that grace, it's very hard to receive it. And so for me, I try to stay on the place of like, yo, maybe something happened. Maybe something, like, I'm not going to prejudge that. Like, I'm not even going to do, like, I'm going to just love. I'm gonna just reach out. I'm gonna support. Hey, yo, I don't agree with that, but what you did over there, that was dope. Like, God, yo, that thing over there. Like, I just maximize on what's good, because the Bible tells us, think on these things. What's good, pure, lovely, of good report. We don't even post about that. We don't even talk about how people do good. We're just waiting for the moment that they do. And honestly, that goes against what God's word tells us to do. And we make money off of it, so we think it's okay now. So we think the clippable stuff, the all that other stuff, we are magnifying people's mistakes, worst moments, hard lessons, public lessons, and we getting paid $60,000 a year for it. And so now somehow we think, because it's helping us monetarily, that it is now right. But God's taking record of all of this. And this is what people don't get. He's keeping record of everything we do. And some of the stuff that is making money in culture is actually taking you down in God's eyes.
Thank you for addressing that, by the way. And because, of course, everything that comes out of Transformation Church, I want to know what you think about it.
Yeah.
So I just appreciate you. And shout out to Charlie.
It's love, bro. It's love. Yeah. And I want y'all to know, like, the reason I came here and wanted to have this conversation is because that's what people don't do no more.
That's facts. Right.
Nobody's talking. Nobody's communicating. Nobody has enough emotional intelligence to be like, I know they probably think something different, but we could still have a conversation.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And then maybe, I mean, I feel like we could go and work out together. I feel you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But without the communication, without the, and that's the enemy's plan for everybody right now in culture. Pick a side, stay over there, don't listen. And it's kind of like, Christ never did that.
Yeah, Ryan will turn into one of them judgmental Christians.
Oh, I ain't got nothing to say about that. I ain't got nothing to say about
it. I know, but listen, but see, here's the thing. And I'm happy we having this conversation straight on, because at some point in time, I feel like that's one of the things that kind of comes into your heart, especially as you're growing in faith. Like, judgment, self-righteousness is almost like a part of the learning process. You got to be very, because, you know, as you start to develop these convictions in your life, you start to look at people who don't have those same convictions.
Oh, my, my.
It's almost very difficult to separate
developing
conviction and then judging somebody else who has not yet developed that conviction. That's a very difficult thing to do at once.
Yeah, bro. And that's why the Bible tells us how to actually manage that. There's a scripture that says, hey, in Ephesians, I believe it's 4:2, he says, hey, I need you to make room for other people's faults. Like, go ahead and give yourself some emotional capacity, some spiritual grace, some actual grace, and make room for each other's faults. Because if you don't do that, you will become judgmental of the very thing you need. Like, and then there's another scripture that talks about you worried about taking a speck out of your brother's eye and you got the whole tree getting out of your eye. He's like, hey, I need you. Because that is the human part of us, that as soon as we start to do better, we be looking back like, why y'all ain't doing better?
Easy.
And it's like, we just started doing better yesterday. But so quickly, we are putting other people's journey on our timetable. And that's why I tell everybody, this whole walk is about progression and not perfection. Like, I just got to progress today. Like, I just got to make a better decision today. I got to choose Jesus today. I got to love my enemy today. I don't know what I'm gonna do tomorrow, but today I'm gonna pray for that person who made that crazy comment to me. Like, I'm gonna act like, and if you can continue that journey of progression, you'll end up at a place that is be like, I don't even know how I got here. Like, how in the world did this happen? And it would be like, all glory to God.
So I want to go back to this conversation, because I'm gonna try to have you pick a side.
No, you're gonna try, but it ain't gonna work.
I'm gonna try.
All right, let's go.
Because when we talk about manhood and masculinity, one, you absolutely right, because I would say, if I'm being real, yes, I did grow up around man's man, but man's man also meant hoe. And I did grow up around man's man, but man's man meant loyalty to men and not to women.
Yikes.
I did grow up around man's man, but man's man meant whatever the hell culture was on right now. Not necessarily anything
I got what you
that
saying.
What God is rocking with.
Yeah.
So I am now in my adulthood growing up to be developing this skill set to become this comprehensive man, now inclusive of God's word.
Yeah.
But I would say, I do think it's somewhat of a slippery slope if we're not clear on what it even looks like, because if I see, you know, Brian talking about the pink, you know, pink clothing, whatever the case is, that's tricky. But if I see a pastor walk up on the stage with some heels, it's a different situation. And now we're in a culture where people are saying, but this is who I am. This is who I am. Like, this is who I am. Definitely. This is how I am. In fact, you're trying to take me outside of who I am.
Yeah.
And what does that mean now? Like, is that like where, how do we clearly identify when this becomes non-biblical at this point and God is no longer involved in this authenticity that we're claiming?
So we have to go back to two things. We have to go back to the Word of God. And then the other thing is going to require something out of all of us, time. Because the only thing you can judge is their fruit. Like, we are not judges. We are fruit inspectors. And a lot of people don't understand in this society where we go to the grocery store and get fruit, the process of fruit being made. We have no idea how long it takes a strawberry to actually become a strawberry ripe to eat. We have no idea how long it takes an apple or an orange or a pear to actually become ripe enough to eat. If we did, we would have more grace for people. And so as a fruit inspector, it's like, yo, that's interesting what you just did there. And that makes me feel a little funny when I see you say that. But maybe that was the manure that was around the actual seed that's actually going to produce some fruit one day. Because any farmer knows that it takes soil crap, is what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Things that pests are in, it takes mess to actually have some of the sweetest and best fruit. And I would dare us to all be for real, that probably some of the best versions of who we think we are today came out of us in a messy situation.
Mm-hmm.
So again, who am I to say, hey, that couldn't be the catalyst? I don't rock with that. But if all things work together for good, could God not use this to get to their heart or heal the trauma or bring somebody around that transforms them? So, yeah, I think there are things that are blatantly like, I'm this way. I say it to people this way. God loves us just the way we are, but loves us too much to leave us the way we are.
Mm.
So I think there is a transformation process that goes along with everybody who's really trying to do this. Now, there's some people that claim Jesus, go to church on Sunday, and they are not interested in God changing them from the inside out. That is just a religious check of the box. But there are others of us who used to be addicted to pornography, who used to actually have very hoish tendencies, who used to look at every situation about what I can get out of it and how is this going to serve me. That was me. And I tried on my discovery of faith all kinds of stuff, and the only thing that made me change is finding out who Jesus was and how it applied to my life. So again, this is not hearsay. This ain't my mama's religion. This is me going on a journey and being like, yo, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by him. Bro, I used to want to cuss them out and now I want to help them. Like, dang, I used to want to beat them in the face and now I'm sad that they feel that way. Like, that wasn't just today I'm going to do better. That was a process of time. But if you would have known me 15 years ago, y'all wouldn't have me on this podcast. There's no who I was, but now who I am, that's God's process of transforming us. And I just want everybody to beware when you put the stop clock on God. It's dangerous when you say, God, you got this much time to change them. The Bible says, God's not being slow, like some of you may think. He's being patient because he's not wanting anybody to perish. He wants everybody to repent. And so again, because of Instagram and Twitch and social media and TikTok, we get to see snapshots of everybody. Like, we got right to see, here they are in 2020. Do y'all know how many people we have judgments about from 5 years ago that we have not seen since then, but we still think they at the same place? Because in our mind, they're frozen right there. But who was y'all 5 years ago? Was this podcast even here 5 years ago?
No, and we victims of that too, because it's really about the last thing you heard from them.
You got what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that really is a small emotional window. And I just think of us being, how did you say, comprehensive man?
Yeah.
I like that. You should coin that. Being a comprehensive man means you have to have more tolerance. You have to have emotional maturity.
to understand. I don't get mad at my kids for spilling juice when they just learning how to drink. I have the emotional capacity to know that I'm probably going to clean up some messes while they're trying to learn.
Yeah.
But when we get to adulthood, it's kind of like, oh, they messed up. Like they, and it's like, come on, yo, how many times did you tell a girl you was done and you went back and smashed? How many times did you, come on, let's like, how many times did you say, I'm not talking to them no more? Or, no, this is the last time. And you went back. If all of that was broadcast, if everybody saw every time you made a promise to God and you messed up on it, if everybody saw the time you stayed on that station too long and watched the pornography, if everybody would have saw that, nobody would respect any of us. But God's grace is something that's so beautiful. We don't deserve it, but he extends it without us being judged by others. He said, man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. And for me, I'm trying to be more like him. And so it's hard. Like, I get it. Like, I get it. Like, I'm not out here trying to give everybody a pass. There's certain people I don't fool with because I seen too much fruit. I see your fruit. And until I see some more fruit, which means there's some time that got to go by, I can't fool with you. I can pray for you. I can love you from afar. But this is my boundary. Like, you'll never see me pulling up with them. But there's other people that I know they're in process. Mm. I know that mug is sour now. I can't eat that fruit now because it's bitter. But give it another summer.
Mm. So, Pastor Mike, I mean, you a lot of things. You're pastor, performer, entertainer. You got the music popping. You and a content producer, right? And we sit together every week, a couple times a week, and we figure out exactly what we're getting ready to talk about.
Okay.
Now, you know, it's some commonality or some things that we say, hey, has to be included in the content. Transformation is one of those things.
That's awesome.
If it's not transformation in that content, we can't put it out.
I love it.
But it also has to be relevant to the culture.
Okay.
Very important. Is the culture talking about it? Is this a conversation the culture wants to be involved in? And it has to have layers of entertainment.
Okay.
Because otherwise it won't actually reach anybody.
And yeah. We like to have fun, actually.
Yeah.
We like content. We would actually watch ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So my question for you, because you got a lot of people complaining about what your messaging may look like, mm-hmm. you know, what level of impact it's actually having. So I don't know if this is a personal question or not, but how much does business outcomes actually impact what your messaging or what your programming is at church?
Zero. I have never one time looked at what the algorithm is going to do by me preaching, because I started preaching with no YouTube, with 300 people that didn't like me in the hood of Tulsa.
Wait, 300 people who didn't like you? You mean like
I took over a church.
Wow.
From a white gentleman who had been pastoring for 16 years. They give it to this 27-year-old kid who coming up here in suits and J's, like, 800 people were there on my installation service. 250 was there the next week.
Wow.
Like, so I didn't do this because this was a guaranteed anything. I did it because I felt like I was called by God. There was no money. I made less than everybody in this room. I didn't have a vehicle when I started lead pastoring of the church. I was borrowing a lady's 15-passenger van. So can't nobody talk to me about, like, oh, I'm doing this for a reason. Bro, this is not why I signed up to this. I signed up because when I was in the dark praying for God to use me or partner with me, he said, I will, but you got to obey me and not them. And I decided I'd have crazy faith and obey him and do whatever he asked me to do. And I just said, could I be like who I actually am? And he said, that's the only person I called and created. And that's how I've been rocking from the very beginning. I got videos of me doing examples and stuff when I was getting the stuff from Dollar Tree, the same thing. Like, it's just people can see it now.
Right.
And because we live in such a reaction-based society instead of responses, which is a whole thing that everybody needs to really dig into. Are you reacting or are you responding? Response has wisdom attached to it. Reaction has feeling only attached to it. So that's a whole nother thing for another day. But what I'm saying is, like, I've been the same. And so, yeah, I don't think about business, bro. What? I don't care none. I got to pray. Bro, do you know what type of pressure it is to know that 200,000 people are going to show up virtually and online to hear what you have to say and you speaking on behalf of God for them?
Can't imagine.
Every week. This is not once a year. Every
week. And you know that there's haters that's going to try to clip it up and make it say something. Bro, I'm not doing this because this the only thing I can do. I could quit pastoring today and I will be F-I-N-E. I'll be fine. God, no, I think people think like, I want this. Like, this right. is, I'm called to this. If I don't do this, I'm disobeying God. And most people don't have the fear of God like that. They disobey him daily. Mm-hmm. I can't live like that. So I do this because I have to, but I never once. I'm praying, I'm asking God, and then I'm filtering it through creativity and how would it reach me and how would I understand it? Because I was the dude that I needed help. I was falling asleep in church. Like, I was, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, same. What is he talking about? And just hooping and hollering. And I was like, bro, you don't talk like that. How did you get a British accent? You're from Brooklyn. Like, what? You know what I'm saying? So, like,
I get what you're saying.
You know, yeah. The theatrics of like becoming a different person, but me, I just saw that Jesus told parables in the Bible. He put stories along with truths, and that's how people got it without TV. That's how people got it back in the day without social media. They was like, oh, you remember that story Jesus told? You remember that example he did with the fish and the loaves? That's how people got it. So that's all I'm trying to do with our modern culture.
So take us underneath, you know, yeah. what's happening a bit, because obviously we having an experience with you right now. So we, you know, building our own, you know, assessment of yeah. Mike Todd. And then you got people who only see the clips.
Yeah.
So they only see the most polarizing aspects of Mike Todd.
Yeah.
Similar to us, right? If you ask people on the street what we about, who knows what they'll say, right? Unless you really, really rock with us, then you know we helping people transform their life. So
they probably call us a misogynist or something like that.
Easily. Worse. So at Transformation Church, because obviously we know some of the things that you do get massive attention and reach.
Mm-hmm.
But what does transformation, like what is actually the response from the people who are going to the services on a, you know, weekly basis? What are they saying? What's happening with them when that happens?
They've never been a part of anything so real. Mm. Never been a part of something so authentic. Never seen this level of generosity. Like, it's transformative. I grew up in church, and so I was able to take the things that I thought the church could grow in and actually put it into place. We don't have an offering time at our church. You've never heard that before.
No.
That ain't never been clipped up. Everybody talk about the church just wants my money. We do not pass buckets at all at Transformation Church. Name me another church.
I'm actually blown away by that. It's crazy. We can really ask for money right now. Listen, if you have it,
what I did is I made a decision. I was like, hey, if this is a big holdup for people, I'm just going to teach about it once a year about the blessing of generosity and honoring God with your finances and honoring him with your wealth. That's scripture. We want all the blessings, but we don't want to obey what he says to do. So I was like, I'm going to teach on it. And then I'm going to tell people, hey, if you want to give, you know how to give. You can click the QR code or you can go outside and give. But we're going to pray for you. And we're going to show a generosity story of what we gave to as a church. I've been doing that for almost 9 years now. Mm. You can literally blink and miss us talking about anything. But we have been so influential in giving away money to help organizations, churches, widows, orphans, building stuff in our city and across the world. But it was me taking something traditional, finding the issue with it that gave people disdain and trying to represent. That's our vision, like representing God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. And it's worked for us. We've been able to bless so many people. Man, God has been so good to us because we just did it a different way. And so those are the things that I'm saying. We don't do everything perfect, bro. There's no way. Like, I've been pastoring 10 years. I hope he give me another 5, but I'll be gone tomorrow if he let me go. Like, because this is not glamorous. Right. This is waking up and burying people and speaking and having to love your enemies in front of people. And, you know, like, it's all of this stuff. And it's like, God, like, maybe I could just be a podcaster. And I'm serious, because
right.
I could say all the same things I say on Sunday,
yep.
But I wouldn't have the spiritual connotation, because somehow, because I'm the pastor, then it's like, oh, you should only, and I'm like, but I know I'm called to it. And so that's my heart. That's my my vision is just to represent, bro, and help other brothers be authentically them and become their best version. Like, that's it.
It's funny that you said that, because we've actually spoke to a few pastors who actually were fed up with that you know, reality of being a pastor.
Yeah.
And said, you know what? I'm just going to go straight to podcasting, straight to me.
They walked away all the way, all together.
Exactly, because I can say what I want to say,
yeah,
without, and do what I want to do without, you know, kind of those repercussions that come with judgment. Yeah.
Podcaster, influencer, you know, instead of having some kind of leadership program.
Yep.
You know, different ways to help transform people outside of the church because of all of
the judgment.
All of it that comes with that. You know, there's also a vision I think people have of pastors, especially the mega pastors, yeah, right? They have like this vision.
Am I in that category?
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Category. It's booming. Transformation booming.
Booming, baby. We booming over there. We got a sound for that? We got to have a booming sound right over here. But see, here's the thing. They imagine that there's like either somebody from the real higher ups that comes and tries to make a deal with you. And they say, hey.
What you?
They say, hey, listen. If you just, you know, kind of, you know, kind of lighten up on all this kind of, you know, hardcore Jesus business over here and talk a little bit more about this, you know, we'll kind of work something out with you. Is that something that really happens? Have you ever been approached in your career to ever, you know, like switch up for any level of personal gain? Is that something that actually happens? Because we hear that about not even just pastors, like entertainment, pastoral work, like these at these certain levels, these types of whatever fashion it happens in, there's this temptation to slant your original message that you may have wanted to approach. Is that a real thing?
So that's never happened to me, but I know people that have been tempted. Mm. And I think that's what it is. Like, if we call it what it is, like, you made it sound like an ominous, like, movie or something. Yeah. but it honestly is just temptation. It's the same thing that a man that's faithfully committed to his wife and goes to his workplace, and there's a lady there that thinks he's attractive, and she's like, hey, you want to go have drinks with me? It's the same. Mm. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's just at a different level. It's like, hey, if you do this, I'll do this for you. Like, and I don't care at what level of success you are, you will have to face that temptation. Period. That we all faced that in high school with the girl who knew the answers to the test. And you could just look over and see the answer is B, D, A, G. It was temptation.
Well, that
and
was most a sin?
Brother?
That was a sin?
Yes. And all of us failed that test. Do you understand? I mean, like, I'm saying.
Graduated with that too.
But I'm saying, think about it. That's the same thing. Mm. That's the same thing. And so for me, man, that's never happened personally for me, but I know it's a real thing. I know it happens for political gain. I know it happens for business partnerships. I know it happens for even people marrying other mega business people's daughters or sons to keep the money in the family. Like, all of that stuff is real, man. But the thing I want to say about the whole mega thing is, like, I didn't make this big. Mm. I just told y'all where I started. 260 people. Like, how did it become bigger? How did it become better? God must have done something. We've never hired a marketing team. We're in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
It's crazy.
You been there before?
Nah.
You been there before?
No plans.
Okay, cool.
Right.
So we're not in Atlanta. We're not in New York. We're not in LA. But we got people moving from those places to come help us do this vision. Like, without jobs. They believe in the transformation that's happened in their life so much. It's like, I need more people to experience. So that, like, I'm saying, I didn't make it mega. I didn't blow up the Instagram. There's not one paid ad anywhere. Mm. Somewhere there had to be value. Just like y'all, 400,000 subscribers. How did that happen? How did you become a big podcast? And some people think big means bad.
Yep.
Period.
That's true.
And that's honestly, it's sad because big doesn't mean bad. Big means different. That means we may have to reach people differently. That may mean that I can't meet every person that comes to the church, but I can have a pastoral team of 15 people who could actually meet the needs of the people better than one person could. Now, if you like the person speaking, being the person that talks to you, which is a pride issue. Let's just talk about, I need the man of God to talk to me. Hold on. Don't God talk to you? Right. Okay, look, we'll save that for a whole nother day.
That's part two.
But I'm just saying, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but it's because it's tradition. It's like, that's how it is. If there's 200 people coming and the pastor stands at the back and meets everybody, I would, like, my team knows that's me. I love people. They be like, no, time out. Like, if you see me with people, we in the airport, they're like, hey, we gotta go. Part of the reason that we gotta do stuff a certain way is because I love people. If I could, I would be with everybody. But it's physically irresponsible, as well as I got a wife and four kids, one with special needs, that I have to make my priority, as well as I have a lot of things. So I do it for everybody I can. But if you need that, I'm good with that. I tell everybody, Transformation Church is not everybody's cup of tea. Here, we have not your cup of tea cards at our church that we hand out. People come, it's too big, it's too loud, we gonna rock, you ain't like my jeans, cool. Here are 15 other churches that you can go to.
You give them the other churches?
Yes. Is this not about the kingdom?
Wow. Yeah.
What? But see, it's crazy. That's a foreign thought.
Yeah,
that is a foreign thought.
Cause somehow it gotta be all about my church. We give millions of dollars to other churches and organizations that we could just keep and do stuff for ourselves. In 1 year, you know, the same year the spit hit the fan thing happened.
What? Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, you remember that? Oh, y'all remember that? Yeah. Y'all know in that same year we gave $8 million away?
No.
Wow.
Why you don't know about that? Why is there not one news story? And I'm not saying that now for any reason. Our blessing was in heaven for that.
Of course.
I'm just saying that, like, two things can be true at the same time. You can have a prejudgment of somebody and they actually making crazy impact. And so for me, my heart is that people would get out of the chaos of culture and really live out their calling. Because culture will never understand your calling. They will only critique it.
Mm. Man.
Let that one breathe a little bit, right?
Yeah. You know, this is good. This is good. I'm just like, yeah, look, Mitty, I'm like thinking about how we're going to get you back on the show. I'm thinking,
hey,
about
bro.
I'm thinking about everything right now.
Listen, we got 30 more. Man, his team putting some pressure on us because this is a okay. Busy brother right here.
Yeah.
So we can't let it breathe too much.
Okay, go ahead.
Because here's where I want to go with this too, because this is really where the culture is talking right now. I wish we took a little sabbatical. We coming back at us. We kind of missed this conversation. So I'm blessed to have this conversation with you, because many of us were, you know, some of them were up at arms. Some people were upset. Some people were celebrating. Some people were even miss work off the situation that the world had witnessed with Charlie Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, man, you've seen how it divided people.
So bad.
How it divided people. You saw some people who were, you know, comparing his life to that of someone who was a divisive villain to our culture. And you've seen other people using his life as a martyr and parallels to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right. And that in itself, and this is all within the same Christian community,
bro. Mm-hmm.
Right. All within the same community. People's like, this man is Satan. And this man is the closest thing I've seen to Christ,
right.
MLK and right. Everything else.
Right.
So obviously it's some confusion going on.
Yes, sir.
Obviously. One, I guess let's start there. Can I just personally get your take? What was your take with what you saw on Charlie Kirk personally? What was your take on him?
Number one, nobody should be executed for their beliefs. Nobody. That man was killed in broad daylight, mm-hmm. on national TV from rebroadcast.
Scary.
And if something in your heart didn't feel like, dang, I don't care how, like, that ain't right. Like, it's shown how callous we've gotten as a culture. Like, that we've maybe watched too many movies and maybe have played too many video games that has made death very by the way. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first, like, whoa, like, you can just see this man get shot in broad daylight over and over and over again. And so my heart broke for his family and his two kids now that don't have a father. It's just sad, bro. Same situation, different side, is that depending on your personal views, opinion, and perspective before this thing happened. Mm-hmm. That either emboldened you or made you indifferent. And what this whole situation did was expose what was just already there.
Yep. Mm.
Like, I tell people, like, this was just the thing that made what you actually feel on the inside come up.
Absolutely.
It was a trigger. I'm actually in a series right now at my church that started on the same week that all of this happened, which I was like, God, like, why did you? He told me 78 days earlier that I was, before I went on my sabbatical, that the series I was supposed to come back to when I started preaching again was called Trigger, Putting Christ in the Middle of Your Crash Out. And I stand up there on that Sunday morning, and you can go watch it on YouTube, and I can just tell you that God used me in that moment to really be able to help people not go outward with their expression. They needed to go inward and see where the trauma was. Because depending on how you have been introduced to relationship with people of the opposite race, this had a lot of trauma attached to it. Like, you seeing certain people post certain stuff, and there was visceral react. I mean, it was just like, there's stuff. I mean, we done cut off and canceled and cussed out, and you know what I'm saying? Like, Christians. Yeah. Like, I'm not even talking about like people that don't know God. I'm talking about believers. And so what that trigger did for everybody is it exposed the trauma. And what I told our church is, I was like, hey, I don't care how you feel right now. Let me validate your feeling. Your feeling in your world may be right. What do we do with this? Where do we go from here? Is now every situation about to set you off? Or are you going to rise into your Christ consciousness and actually be able to be a difference maker in whatever the situation is? I said, so the only way we can do that, the only way that we don't crash out, is we got to deal with this trigger that has now been attached to a trauma. And if we can go down, if we can drop down and deal with the trauma, I'm actually disappointed that more white people didn't say this. Or I'm actually, I feel hopeless that when a brother gets killed like this or lynched the next week, no media coverage, but nobody's saying what the trauma is. We're just reacting with the frustration. And anger is the easiest emotion to tap into. On the emotional wheel, there's so many other emotions. There's disappointment. There's sadness. There's just so many things. Hurt. But especially men. When we talk about men, we don't know none of those emotions. The only thing we know is we pissed. We angry. I don't get disrespected like that. And it's kind of like, yo, that's the cheap way. What do you really feel? A lot of black men felt hopeless. Mm-hmm. That's where the response was. It's like, how in the world are we going to actually be able to? And so for me, man, that's why I go to therapy. Y'all go to therapy?
No.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Man, what did you say you was going to be? Comprehensive
man.
You cannot be no comprehensive man if you're not talking about the issues with somebody who has nothing to do with the issue. That won't judge you. That will not be able, they can just help you get tools. I'm in counseling every week.
Wow.
What are you talking about? Me and my wife go to intensive 3 times a year, 5 days in a row for 5 hours every day. We put more time in changing the oil in our car than changing the thoughts in our mind. Think about that. How in the world are you gonna get your house cleaned and not get your mind cleaned? Guys, if I wasn't here for no other reason, bro, y'all have to start investing into your mental, emotional, and spiritual health. This is good. This is community. This is talking to people. Y'all have an advantage that most people don't have. Y'all get to talk to people who really know some stuff.
Right.
But that doesn't put the mirror up to you. That's like seeing in somebody's like kind of like shiny car, but you don't get to see the details till the mirror gets up to you. And sometimes you need space and time to be like, yo, the reason that I did that was because I actually was feeling this trauma. And that's from when I was 14 and they didn't let me on the basketball team. And I said, I'll never let it ever treat me like that again. And now I'm 38 acting out of 14. And until you have that space to see that, it's just a cycle.
I accept that challenge. Tarshawn and I have been having a lot of conversations about that lately, especially as things get busier, want to increase our mental and emotional capacity.
But bro,
you can't do that without help. So we absolutely accept that challenge.
For sure. Bro, listen, I know y'all want to move on, but hear me when I'm telling you right now who y'all will be a year from now with committing to at least monthly counseling. We'll be back in a year and see what happens.
Challenge accepted. Yeah.
There you have it. And I'm so first of all, thank you for that. That was I'm happy you addressed the culture and the culture's response and the issues with the culture's response in how we all experienced that experience together. But just personally, like you're as somebody in leadership, you know, like when you think of leadership, is like when you think of what you had personally on an emotional level had experienced when you saw that. Did you feel many of the thoughts that other people felt about Charlie Kirk? Like, were you aligned with those thoughts as well?
I don't know what thoughts you're talking about.
Okay.
But what I will say is that I'm aligned with what Christ says about all of those things. That was evil, and things that man said, especially about certain individuals that represent us, is evil too. Two things can be true at the same time. And I think that emotion, that margin to be able to be intentional about how I feel about certain. And then this is the beautiful thing. I get to process it in therapy.
Taking us back.
Hold on. I just need to let you know. I need to let you know that people are processing on social media.
Yes.
100%. That is unwise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
They're processing on podcasts. They're processing, want to know everybody's thing. I needed to go inward.
Yeah.
To figure out why I felt certain ways about certain things. And after I process, now I'm able to come out and figure out how I'm about to live.
Yeah.
How I'm about to love. How I'm about to actually be a proponent of unity and still represent something.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, bro, if we don't do our work, we can never be as effective as God wants us to be.
Okay.
That's the truth of it.
Understood.
Right, hey, now, man, this is part one. This is too easy, y'all. I think we have something here that we need to continue to talk, bro. What a blessing.
Yeah. No, 100%. Now I get it now, because Ryan over here pointed. I'm like, what are you? Okay. He's like, Mike Todd got to travel. Oh, y'all,
protect,
right?
Mike Todd.
So we gotta protect this brother's schedule here.
Hey, listen, my wife is on my shirt right now. She told me, she's like, you can go, but you got to be back this evening. I got to get back to my beautiful kids, man. But I really appreciate y'all, man.
For sure.
Y'all are doing something that most people aren't doing. They're having hard conversations. And hard conversations with space to be able to embrace room for understanding.
Yeah.
And all you're getting, the Bible says, get an understanding. And most people are getting the soundbite, but without the understanding.
There you have
and
it.
I really appreciate this Hardly Initiated podcast. And I would love for us to do this. Look. Y'all just come to Tulsa. You said you had no plans of coming to Tulsa.
That's light work.
You said you had no plans of coming to Tulsa. Y'all come pull up on me on my playground. We'll do a podcast.
Away game.
Yes, sir. and I'll show y'all, treat y'all right, man. I want to show y'all what generosity looks like, man, and what appreciation with no strings attached looks like, man. That's for real.
Let's do it. Can you mind praying this out
easy. Let's do it. Father, do it. We thank you for collaboration. And we thank you that you are a God that makes space and room for people from different backgrounds and different walks to come together. Thank you for my brothers who are out here doing what you asked them to do. And I thank you for their transformation in front of people. I thank you. You're doing deep work that they have to kind of live out in front of everybody. And I know what that's like. And so I thank you that you would give them more grace, more understanding, more wisdom, the right people around them, and bless everything that has good fruit attached to it. Thank you for every listener. Thank you, Lord, that they really know that they may be damaged, but they're not destroyed, and that they have victory because you still see value in them. We thank you for all you're doing. Bless them is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate it.
Let's get it. All right, y'all. So, family, I need y'all to go ahead and tap in, okay? My brother has dropped a book here, and you got to make sure you hit the link in the description and get that wisdom today, okay? I need everybody to do
Yo,
so.
Yo, one thing. I'm going on tour this fall with Ty Tribbett, Kiki Sheard, and Transformation Worship. We outside, and we're going all over. I love that sound drop. Yeah, you, that was perfect. So if we're going to be anywhere near you, we're going to be turning up. And I need y'all to get y'all tickets right now. And it's going to be a fun We Outside tour coming the end of October.
There and you check go. The link for all the descriptions. We're putting all that in there.
Hurry up and fight.
Y'all got it. All right, family. So we are up out of here. Y'all know you need to subscribe because, listen, y'all got us over 500,000 subscribers right now, okay?
Let's go.
That's how we was able to get this brother on here. Y'all want us to keep this podcast in business, keep hitting that subscribe button. But y'all already know how we do it. Hardly initiated. We are out.
Let's go.